It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, happy Wednesday to you all. This is not Dr. Brown, but it's his good friend Scott Volk. Dr. Brown is currently in Singapore ministering over there for the week, and I am privileged to sit in this desk. My one prayer is that I am as anointed as he for the next couple of hours. Thanks so much for joining us, whether you're listening live or whether you're listening to our podcast or online. Welcome to the show. Today is going to be a very thought-provoking show. I want to encourage you to call in with your calls, 866-348-7884. Our topic today is why bless Israel? Why bless Israel? You can look online, you can look in the news broadcasts on television. Depending on where you're looking, you're going to either get positive or negative reports on Israel. But one thing that remains true is the Word of God. So today, I want to attack this subject from the Word. We're going to be looking from the Word of God, why bless Israel. To begin the show, I just want to start off with reading a verse that many of you may already know. It's out of the book of Genesis, chapter 12, and it goes like this. The Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Verse 2, Genesis 12. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And so shall you be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Why bless Israel? Is this a political condition? Is this a spiritual condition? Is this a spiritual mandate or a political mandate? Why bless Israel? Some of you may be pro-Israel. Some of you may be anti-Israel. On this show, we're pro-God. We are pro-God, and we're going to open up the Word. And I want to introduce you to my first guest today. He's a dear, dear friend of mine, messianic recording artist, well-known around the world. And he and I have the privilege of partnering together in a significant way for Israel. So welcome to the Line of Fire, my dear friend, Paul Wilbur. Paul, are you with us?
I am here.
I am here. Thank you so much. You are speaking to the nation, my friend, as we are on live. And I can't think of a better person to start the show off with. We just have a couple of minutes before the break. I just want to start out with you with the question, why is it important to support Israel?
You read a couple of verses here in Genesis chapter 12. I had already opened to it. So here's a question that I would have for people who are wondering why on earth I should be interested in blessing Israel. The very last part of verse 3, let me read the whole thing again. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. This is the God of the universe speaking. He's already done it. He's made Israel into a great nation. It is a blessed nation. He says, I'll make your name great. Abraham's name is certainly great, even through today, seen as the father of three world religions, if you will. And you will be a blessing. Mm-hmm. He goes on, he says, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Now, that should be enough for someone to say, now wait a minute. Okay, if I believe in God, if I just have just the foundational, fundamental, yes, I believe in God, the God, which God? All right, I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, so now we're on the same page. And he says, I will bless those who bless you, Israel, and I curse whoever curses you. That should be enough right there to give you pause. But the best part's still coming, and I hear a break.
You're coming up to the break. We're going to get to the best part after the break, along with some callers who are already calling in. Why bless Israel?
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it's not Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, but I'm Thoroughly Jewish on with a Thoroughly Jewish guest on what we are calling Thoroughly Jewish Wednesday. Just don't tell Dr. Brown. My guest is one of my dearest friends, Paul Wilbur, a messianic recording artist, founder of Wilbur Ministries, and he's someone who is well known around the world. And as I've gotten to know him, I have found Paul to be a lover of Israel, but not because he's Jewish only, but because he's a man of God who values the scriptures. Paul, you were saying that we're about to get to the best part of what you're talking about. Why don't you continue that thought as you were finishing up reading Genesis 12:3?
Yeah, and the last part, the last verse, I will bless those who bless you. This is very familiar to anyone who's ever picked up a Bible. And whoever curses you, I will curse, speaking to Abraham and to his seed. Now, here's the best part that I was alluding to before the break. And it says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, I don't know many people on the planet who don't want to be blessed. If there is such a person who doesn't want to be blessed, they would rather be cursed, then they can turn off the radio station now and forget everything I'm about to say. But for a normal person, a person who lives and breathes and who's looking to have a life of meaning, and why would you, with in any sense of the word, want to destroy a vessel through which God wants to bless you? Why would you want to turn your back on any way that God wants to reach out to you and to enhance your life, to bless your life, to enrich your life, to prosper your life? And so the question comes, why would anyone want to take a stand against the very plan of God to bless you? Yeah. It just, Scott, it makes no sense at all. It's kind of an antichrist spirit, if you will, that gets involved in these things, that wants to turn a person against themselves. I think it's really where we get the whole replacement theology, which is so destructive in the church today, and to because it actually gets the people who God wants to bless to turn their back on the blessing and just do it themselves. It's a humanistic way of approaching life. And listen, I am for anybody that's for me. It's my birthday today.
And happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, sir. I mean, if someone shows up at my door wearing a Halloween costume and they've got a gift for me in their hands, I'm opening the door. You know, I'd like to have the gift. Okay, I may not like the presentation. I may not like the packaging. It may be a little unsettling to me. But hey, someone is coming. They want to give me, they want to add something, they want to bless my life. I'm opening the door. And I think that's a pretty simplistic way of looking at this, but it obviously goes a lot deeper.
It's so awesome, bro. Hey, listeners, I want to encourage you to pick up the phone, call in 866-348-7884. Our topic today is why bless Israel. Some of you may be out there and you have a conflicting view with what Paul just shared. Some of you may feel like the Israel that's talked about in Genesis 12:3 isn't the Israel of today. I have many, many people who try to convince me that God does not have a real estate interest in that piece of land in the Middle East. I've got many people that try to convince me that God doesn't have a people anymore that are any more special than any other people, that the promises of God are no longer for Israel, but for the church. If you're one of them, I want to invite you to call in, talk to us. Let's have a conversation today. Paul, we're going to take a call. We've got Tom from New York holding on the line. Tom, welcome to the Line of Fire. What's your question, my friend?
Hello, yes. I agree with your guest that, you know, those who curse Israel will be cursed, because I believe in the timeless principle. I believe right now we are in the church age, but there will be a rapture of the church, and we're going to go through a great tribulation. And that's when the Jewish people will accept Christ as their Messiah. So now they say that the church, Jesus said he will separate the church, the goats from the sheep. The sheep are those who will not curse Israel, and the goats will be the nations who will curse Israel. So we have to support Israel in according to what the Bible says.
Yeah, that's awesome. You made a comment that I just want you to clarify. You said that there was a certain time when Jewish people were going to get saved. I don't want to assume something from that conversation, comment, but do you feel like Jewish people can be saved before when you consider the rapture to happen?
We don't know when the rapture will happen, but we wait. As a Christian, I believe you pray and hope that the Lord Jesus will return.
Yeah, but
as a Christian, we believe he's the Messiah, and we will return, and the Jewish people will accept him.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that, Tom. I think it's really important, though, for our listeners to really understand that there may be a total salvation of Israel coming. But there are some people, Tom, that don't believe that you should even be witnessing to Jewish people now, because even though what you termed the church age, there's still time, wouldn't you agree with me, for Jewish people to get saved even today?
I would. You were supposed to preach the gospel to all, both to Jews, to non-believers, to everyone, because that's the proclamation that Jesus said.
That is the proclamation.
It's a shame that they didn't accept them.
Yeah.
But right now, as a Christian, I would minister the gospel to all.
Awesome. Well, as you, I'm sure, are very well familiar with that famous scripture in Romans chapter 1, it says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation for all who believe." And then, Tom, it says this, "to the Jew first." And there's many people, unfortunately, even within the realms of Christianity, that don't believe that that's even applicable anymore. So I just wanted to clarify your comment. I kind of had the feeling you believed that, but I just wanted to make sure that we made that totally clear, that salvation is of the Jews, and there are Jews. Paul and I both, amazingly, are Jewish believers who believe in the Messiah, and we really feel like it's important to also minister to those out in the earth, of course, but we can't neglect the Jewish people. Paul, are you still with me?
Yeah, we've been dropped twice, but I'm back. You just can't get rid of me.
Well, I am so glad you're back. So, Paul, let me just ask you some probing questions. When the Bible says to bless Israel, or I will bless those that bless you, can you give me some practical ways for a believer to bless Israel? Some people might say, well, I'll never get to Israel, and I don't think I know any Jews anywhere. How can these God-loving churchgoers be a blessing to Israel?
Well, that's pretty easy. How are we effective in the earth as believers? One is we pray. Another is that we sow. Another is that we join hands with those who are doing the work. So I can pray. I can see for myself in the Word what God says about Israel, and I can pray into that whole subject. You know, there's a lot of talk today about intercessory prayer or praying into the heavenlies or praying. I was just over at the Harley Davidson dealership buying myself a birthday present. Surprise, surprise. And see, that's the difference between being 18 and 58. Although I'm not 58 today, I used to be 58. When you're 18, people give you gifts, like
yes,
you did for me yesterday, Scott. Thank you so much.
You're
when you're
welcome.
58, you buy your own gifts. So I was, since I'm over 58, I was out buying my own gifts today. But there's a way people, we sow into a situation in prayer. we sow into a situation. That's if we believe that our prayers are powerful and effective,
yes,
and
right.
they avail much, which we certainly do. We have a group of intercessors that prays with us here in our office every Tuesday at 11 a.m., and we were praying into this whole situation just yesterday, the whole situation in the Middle East and God bringing peace to the city of Jerusalem, the city
yes.
of peace, the city of the king. How do we sow? How do we use our resources? We can sow into a situation. We can join hands with those who are doing the work on the ground, with the boots on the ground, so to speak. Like, oh, we're coming up to another break.
Paul,
like,
you are so intuitive.
For Israel.
You're amazing. Yes, we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. Those of you who are holding on the line, we'll get to your calls on the other side of the break. Thanks for listening to Line of Fire today. Can't wait for the rest of the show.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, welcome back to Line of Fire, friends. This is Scott Volk sitting in for Dr. Brown, who is currently in Singapore. You guys should be keeping him in prayer. There's a really significant trip. He's going to be ministering in many, many locations, meeting with businessmen. And I'm really, really excited for his time there. And it's a huge blessing always for me to be sitting in this seat whenever he's gone, and he gives me the privilege of sitting in for him. So we welcome you back. My special guest, Paul Wilbur, is on the line with me today. Paul, you are about getting ready to start off by saying some exciting things that you and I are doing together in the land. And we also have some folks on hold that we'll get to in just a minute. Just stay tight and be patient. But Paul, why don't you just talk a little bit about the ways that you and I are practically blessing Israel together.
Sure. Well, we have this ministry. The Lord gave you the name Together for Israel years ago, and you've been ministering out of this, looking for ways to reach into real lives in a real people, in a real land that
That's right.
we love and know as Israel, our Jewish people. But interesting to know that there's a very large percentage of Israel that are Arabs, Muslims, Christians. This is not an exclusive club of Jews only, and it's a religious democratic society, the only one in the entire Middle East, surrounded by 22 Muslim countries, and that's all I'll say. So we're talking about how to bless the nation. We talked about prayer. You can pray into a situation. You can sow into a situation with your resources. In fact, I've heard it said, if you want to know what's really important to a man, ask him to show you their checkbook. But, yeah. Of course, that's probably baby boomer stuff. You'd have to ask them to show you their smartphone and their credit card charges and where their resources, where do they invest, where do they sow, where do they put the seed that God places in their hand to use. And so we have this Together for Israel, where we look for believers, Arab, Jewish, Palestinian, Christian believers in the land of Israel, particularly Jewish, though, because these are the people who, when those who sow to organizations that raise tens or even hundreds of millions of dollars a year, these are the people who are completely overlooked. Now, put that together with what the Apostle Paul did as he traveled throughout Asia Minor and Europe. And what did he say in Rome? He said that he gathered money and offering for who? For the saints in Jerusalem.
That's right.
He wasn't building hospitals. That's a good thing. He wasn't building this or that. Those are all good things, thank
yep.
God. But the believers in the land who are there preaching the gospel, who are living the gospel, who are advancing the kingdom, as Romans 1 talks about, that this gospel, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. It's the power of God for salvation to anyone who would believe. It is for the Jew first and also for the Gentiles. So this has
yeah.
been our passion. And now as we reach into orphanages or old age homes or individual homes or whatever is in need of support and sowing up in regards to our brothers and sisters
right,
in Jesus. Those are the ones that we're looking to support. That's what God's called us to do. The other works are all great. We're thankful for it.
Yes.
But this is another way to link arms with what God is doing in
the
earth.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. If you'd like to learn more about Together for Israel, you can go to our website, togetherforisrael.org. Just click on the Partner With Us button. Paul and I would love to have you standing with us. We've got amazingly exciting things ahead that we will be announcing both on the air, on the radio, when we get to sit in, and especially on TV. Paul, how do you feel about taking a call or two before we let you go?
Yeah, come on. Let's do it.
All right. So we've got Christian in New Jersey who's been hanging on for 8 minutes. Christian, thank you so much for your patience. What's your question today?
Thank you for taking my call, Scott. Two things. Number one, I will really beg the audience to really pray for me to have a heart of forgiveness for Obama and John Kerry for throwing Israel under the bus. Because I'm having a terrible time trying to, you know, I can't get it. I really can't get it how Obama and John Kerry will, at the last minute of his administration, decide to throw Israel under the bus. It seemed to me that all along he had this in mind, and I'm very sure that this was what the capital reason why he ran for presidency, so that he can really, do this to Israel. So I'm having a terrible time really asking God to forgive him for what he has done. So I'm begging the audience to really pray for me to have a heart of forgiveness for Obama and John Kerry. Thank you.
Christian, thank you so much for calling. Let me just encourage you with one thing. When the most godless leader in history, Nero, was ruling, Paul wrote to the Christians and said, pray for those in authority. I believe one way that we can really clear our hearts from bitterness and unforgiveness is to be praying for our leaders, Republican, Democrat, so that we really can have the heart of God. And God will have mercy. That's one of the things that he says in his word. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, he will heal our land. Christian, thank you so much for calling, and thank you for listening to The Line of Fire. It's a pleasure having you on. Our next caller is Diane in Woodbridge, Virginia. Diana, or Diane, do you have a question for my guest, Paul?
Hi, I do. First, I wanted to thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And I'm enjoying the discussion thus far.
My Good. Question I'll try is not to ruin that for you.
Okay. My question is this. I can't remember the scripture, the address where it's located, but there's a verse that basically says that Jews will be judged on what they did with Jesus, and the Gentiles will be judged on how they treated the Jews. What I wanted to know is, what do you think about people that take that verse to the extreme and believe that they can be good to Jews but treat everybody else like dirt?
Okay, we've got about a minute, Paul, before we go to our break. I'll let you answer this, my friend.
Well, we're going to be judged on one thing alone. What did we do with the blood of Jesus? The blood of Messiah is what separates us as a people from all the other peoples on the earth. And when we receive the blood of Jesus, when we receive him as a Messiah and King, my Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that all things have become new, that all the old has passed away. I experienced that in my life. Scott has experienced that in his life. He takes out the heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh, that we're not to judge any man. God is a judge. Look, I don't even know what's in my own heart. I trust God with that. And so I would simply say, as Jesus said on the Mount of Beatitudes, where I was just standing a couple weeks ago, judge not and you'll not be judged. We're not called to be a judge. We stand before a judge. We're called to encourage and love one another. And that's, I think, the attitude that will overcome in these
Awesome, Diane. Thanks for your call. And Paul, thanks for being with us. I love you. We're going to get cut off because of this break. Mm-hmm. Be listening to Line of Fire next half hour with Ron Cantor.
God bless you.
Bless you too, buddy.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. This is Scott Volk sitting in for Dr. Michael Brown, who is in Singapore. Please be keeping him in your prayers as he's ministering to many churches over there, meeting with business leaders in the land. Dr. Brown does a remarkable work. I can't keep up with him at all. He's amazing. But it's a privilege to be sitting in this seat today. And I'm just so thrilled about our guests. We just finished the first half hour with my dear friend Paul Wilbur. In this half hour, we've got Ron Cantor, who's going to be joining us live from Tel Aviv, Israel. But before we get to Ron, I want to reiterate the verse that I read to start off the show out of Genesis chapter 12, when God speaks to Abraham and says in verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. Sometimes I almost cringe when I put the word curse and God together, because we don't think of God as a cursing God. However, there's one group of people that God clearly states that he will curse, and those are the people who curse Israel. It's a joy to have another dear friend of mine, Ron Cantor, with me live from Tel Aviv. Ron, are you with us?
I am with you. I am in the line of fire, and I'm a little nervous.
Well, Ron, let me appease all of your nervousness, my friend, because I'm the one that's sitting behind this microphone and have to live up to some standard that none of us could ever match with Dr. Brown. Bro, what do you think about? What do you think about when you think of God cursing those who curse Israel? What does that mean? You're living in the land. You're a Jewish believer. Your wife was born in the land. You're around Jews and Arabs all the time in the land of Israel. What do you think God means when he says, I will curse those who curse you?
Well, what's the opposite of curse? It's blessing. So if God merely withholds his blessing, it's a curse. You know, we want the blessing of God on our lives, on our children, on our family, on our homes, on our finances, in every area of our life, on our experience with God, in the Holy Spirit. And if God withdraws that, that's a curse. So I know it's in the active form. I just don't like you just said, I don't like to think of God actively cursing somebody. But if he simply withholds his blessing, yeah, you know, I'll do anything to keep the blessing of God on my life. And so when it says that God will curse there, those people are without the blessing of God.
Yeah, bro, I love that. It's interesting when we look at Matthew chapter 25. And the Lord separates the sheep from the goats. He calls the sheep blessed of my Father, and he calls the goats cursed ones. And the interesting thing between the blessed ones and the cursed ones were the way that they treated the least of Jesus's brothers, which is really, really remarkable. And there was one there was one destination for the blessed ones. And then there was one ultimate destination for the cursed ones. I definitely want to be on the blessing end of where Israel is concerned. You and I texted a little bit just before you got on the air, and you said, hey, are we going to talk about some of these things? And you gave some things to potentially talk about. When I think of nations cursing Israel, I think of nations turning their back on Israel. I'd like to ask you, we've got a caller holding on the line. But before we get to her, I just want to ask you what your take was on the Paris conference, which was like a follow-up to what happened at the United Nations a week or so ago. What's your thought on all that, Ron?
Well, I think can we go back just a little bit further for a minute?
Yes.
Because probably one of the most clear pictures of God blessing and cursing a nation based on how they treated Israel or the Jewish people is Great Britain. I don't know, maybe you and Paul got into this in the first hour. Oh, I hear music.
You hear music, and you are right. We're coming up to a break, bro. On the other side of the break, we want to get to Great Britain. Folks, thanks so much for listening to Line of Fire. Our lines are open, 866-348-7884. We'll catch you on the other side of the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. It's a privilege to be sitting in this seat for Dr. Brown. This is Scott Volk, and I am on with my dear friend Ron Cantor, live from Tel Aviv, Israel. And Ron, we're discussing today, our topic is Why Bless Israel? And we were going to be talking about the recent UN statement that was made, and also the Paris conference that just took place. But Ron, you were wanting to go back a little bit to Great Britain. Why don't you pick up where we left off before the break, bro?
Sure. Before Israel was a nation, even before the end of World War One, Great Britain was probably the best friend of the Jewish people. There were thousands of Zionists, which has now become an evil word.
Yeah.
It simply means people who want to see God's fulfillment of his promise to Israel come to pass, that those who he scattered, he would regather back in their own land. And in the bulk of Zionists that were advocating this lived in Great Britain. And at the end of World War II, Great Britain wrote what was called the Balfour Declaration. And it said that their aim, because they now controlled what was called Palestine. And let me just be clear about something.
Yeah.
Palestine had nothing to do with Arabs at that time. There was no Arab people called the Palestinians. Nobody, no Arab in that area referred to themselves ethnically as Palestinian, because there was no such thing. That's a recent invention. It's something, if they want to go to roncan.net/15facts, I have a free book where that explains the whole history of the word and 15 other facts about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. roncan.net/15facts. Make sure that the F is capitalized or it won't work. Anyways, they released the Balfour Declaration, and then that was adopted by the San Remo Conference about 3 years later. And that conference was the legal body to decide what to do with the former Ottoman Empire, lands that were lost in World War One. And so Great Britain was asked to take over what was considered historic Palestine. And they did that, and their goal was to create a Jewish homeland there. However, in order to curry, and they were blessed. Great Britain, without a doubt, was the greatest country in the world at that time. They had lands all over the world. They used to say, Scott, the sun never sets on the British Empire, because it didn't. They had lands everywhere. And in 1921, they took almost 80% of the land that they promised to the Jewish people, and they created a brand new country called Jordan. And a lot of people don't know that Palestine was considered not just Israel, but Israel and Jordan together. That was the region, not the country, not the state, but the region of Palestine. And they took 80% of that land and created a brand new country called Jordan. And the sun began to slowly set on the British Empire. In 1939, when the World War II and the Holocaust was just beginning, Great Britain passed a law that said they would not allow any more Jewish immigration into Palestine, only 75,000 over 5 years, and then zero. So you had 11 million Jews in Europe seeking to get out, and they allowed less than 100,000. And so that's when the sun really set. And Great Britain today, I love Great Britain. I work for a company that is based in Great Britain. But the sun set on the British Empire. And another country rose up at that point. They were the first to recognize Israel's independent state, and that was the United States of America. Harry S. Truman, on the very day that Israel declared independence, he was the first to recognize, get formal recognition. And God's blessing came upon America. And despite 8 years of Barack Obama's hostility towards the Jewish people, or rather towards the state of Israel, our U.S. Congress is tremendously pro-Israel, and God's blessing has been upon America since that time because of our relationship with Israel. So when we talk about blessing and cursing, I do fear that if America fully turned against Israel, and we came really close in the past few weeks, that God would remove his blessing. But you asked about the Paris conference. You know, leading up to this Paris conference, you had the UN condemnation. That was the first outrageous thing that happened about a month ago. And then during the Feast of Hanukkah, when we celebrate liberation from an evil king and an evil empire, John Kerry gave a furious speech. I mean that guy, I didn't know he had a personality. I mean, he's not the most exciting guy in the world. But if you heard that speech, he was fiery, he was angry, and his target was Israel, because we are building neighborhoods in Judea and Samaria, which they've created an evil word, settlement. All it means is a neighborhood. People live there. They go to school. They have commerce. They don't go out doing terrorist attacks. And so he was – then the third outrage came Sunday when 70 nations gathered. And it is interesting that they kept using the number 70, because biblically that literally means all the nations when you say 70. That's all of them. So the entire world gathered in Paris to condemn Israel. But Christians began to pray all over the world. We put a few blogs up on our website, and it got a lot more than normal readership.
Yep.
And at the end of that conference, amazingly enough, it fell flat on its face. I mean, it wasn't a good outcome for Israel, but it could have been a really bad outcome for Israel. In the end, they changed the word. In the end, Great Britain, God bless Great Britain once again.
Yeah.
They didn't even send their foreign minister
their
ambassador. And so thank God that they changed the language, they softened it, and it wasn't near as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm fond of saying, if you look at Israel through a political lens, you'll end up hating either Arabs or Jews or both. If you look at Israel through a biblical lens, you will end up loving both Arabs and Jews. I have a hunch, Ron, that if we took the blessing posture where Israel is concerned, our hearts would open up in such an incredible way towards the surrounding Arab nations, because we're doing what God wants us to be doing where Israel is concerned. Hey, Ron, how about taking a call with me? We've got Ann, who's been holding on for over 20 minutes from New York. Ann, it's great to have you on the Line of Fire today. What's your question for Ron?
Okay. Well, it's not actually a question. Shalom, Ron. Shalom. And
shalom.
The thing is, don't you agree, I'm not asking you to agree yourself, but I believe you're a Messianic. Are you a Messianic?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I'm a Messianic myself. Don't you agree we trying to protect the land of our Lord where he was born, don't you agree that we have to start talking to Israelis, the Jewish Orthodox, to say, God doesn't have a time. You know, God's times is absolutely different from our time. And probably this is the time for everybody to understand that we have to declare not only as a state of Israel, but the state of the Holy Land of our Messiah, of our Lord Jesus Christ. If that happens, I promise you, now, here and now, and God is my witness, my Lord is my witness, there will be peace all over the world, and everything will come to order. Because you know what? Christians all over the world, Romans, Catholics all over the world, Protestant, anybody who believes in Jesus Christ will protect the land. This is our land. This is the land of our Lord. We protect the Jews, but we also protect the land of our Lord. This is the Holy Land. Don't you agree about that?
I'm not exactly sure I understood completely 100% your statement, but, you know, when we talk to Jewish people in Israel, Orthodox Jews, non-Orthodox Jews, our focus really is to share with them the good news of Yeshua, to build relationships, to show them that we don't have horns, that we're not a cult, that we're people that we do love the land, as you said, that our children serve in the Israeli Defense Forces.
But look, Paul, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I heard a week ago, it was a high rabbi from New York. They were talking in the radio. Says, no. We all love Christians. We need the Christians in our land. We all love the Christians. They love us so much, not only because we bring enough economy, you know, by thousands of trips daily to visit the land where our Lord was born, why don't declare the land of the Holy Land of the Messiah, Jesus Christ? That will be peace.
And I want to thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for your call. Ron, it's an interesting thing on the heels of Ann's call. I want to talk to you a little bit about there's even a sect of Judaism where there are Jews that are saying that Israel today isn't even the Israel of the scriptures. And I've seen pictures, we're coming up on a break, Ron, but I've seen pictures of Orthodox Jewish people in New York City burning the Israeli flag. So on the other side of the break, I'd like you to address that issue. What does Israel mean, and how can we as believers really be blessing Israel? Friends, 866-348-7884. Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. It's great to have Ron Cantor with us live from Israel. We'll be back with him on the other side of the break.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Awesome being with you folks today. This is Scott Volk sitting in for Dr. Brown, who is currently in Singapore. And I'm privileged to have a dear friend of mine who I've known for 20 years, Ron Cantor, on the line live from Israel. On the previous side of the break, Ron and I were just getting ready to chat about a sect of Jewish people, Orthodox Jewish people, who actually are opposed to Israel being a state. And a lot of people who hold on to a theology that God is through with Israel will actually use these Orthodox Jews almost as a support for their erroneous thinking. Ron, how does this happen? Man, tell me, Jewish people born and raised looking for a homeland, how in the world are they burning flags on the streets of New York City as Jews?
Well, they're called the Neturei Karta, and their whole existence is to be against Zionism. And they would tell you that Zionism is something new, and that Judaism, the religion, is what's really important. The land and the state and the political aspect has nothing to do with Judaism. As you know, for us, since 1948, there's been a land of Israel. As long as I've been alive, there's been a land of Israel. But for people, you know, over the past 2,000 years, there wasn't a land of Israel. And they believe that only when the Messiah comes, comes back, but for them, they're believing he's coming for the first time. Only when the Messiah comes can the nation of Israel be born. So they, and it'd be one thing just to believe that, but they actively oppose that. Even I remember them meeting with Ahmadinejad, the radical nut job former leader of Iran.
Yeah.
So again, they're not just saying, hey, we don't believe in it, but to each his own. They work against the state of Israel.
Yeah, it's a remarkable thing to me, seeing our people opposing what only God can do. I know Dr. Brown is fond of saying, when God scatters, nobody can gather. It's like if God shuts a door, nobody can open the door. If God curses,
right,
nobody can bless. If God blesses, nobody can curse. So if God scattered the people of Israel out of the land, it's only him. I don't care how well people can be politically aligned. There's no political entity that can trump, forgive the pun, God.
I was talking to an atheist Jewish person the other day, and they were saying, well, how do you know God is real? And I said, look, Israel, come on.
Amazing.
I mean, who would believe that 2,500 years ago, a dozen Hebrew prophets said, oh, by the way, you're going to be scattered all over the world, but God will bring you back here one day. And then 2,500 years ago, just after Hitler tried to kill 11 million Jews, he succeeded with 6 million, that these people just happened to come back to their own land. How did they stay a people for 2,000 years without a nation? There's no other example in history of a nation staying together as a people,
yeah,
once they're separated from their land for more than two or three generations, and yet Israel did it for 2,000 years. So it's the greatest proof that the God of the Bible is God, that Israel is a nation today.
Amen. I love that, bro. I love that. Dean from Iowa, you've been hanging on. Thanks so much for your patience, Dean. What's your question for my guest, Ron?
Greetings, brother.
Greetings.
Maybe something you could comment on. I wanted to make a differentiation of course, God is definitely not done with the Jews, but Paul brings to attention that for the gospel's sake, there are your enemies, but as Christ's sake, they are beloved, and he does have a future plan for them. And I wanted to specifically look at Revelation, where God talks about these non-believing Jews, the synagogue of Satan, in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. They are Jews who say they are Jews and are not and do lie, because they're not Jews inwardly. They're not circumcised in the heart, not believers in Christ. And I wanted to point out that in as far as the temple that is right there in the beginning of the 7 years that the Jews have, the Antichrist is going to sit in that seat. He is going to be the one that these synagogues of Satan bring in as their god, and the whole world will believe that he is or be deceived. And not until Christ actually comes back and they look on him who they have pierced, you know, it says then they will believe when they see him. And, you know, God, there's his plan of redemption right there. But guess maybe you can comment.
Well, can I jump in there and make just a couple comments? I do agree with you that when the temple is rebuilt, that's why I don't get really excited about the third temple, because it's going to be the Antichrist who's going to build it. I'm not sure that he's going to be the focus of their worship in the first 3.5 years. I believe that it's going to be a revival of traditional Judaism. I think they start, the Antichrist begins to demand worship after what we see in Revelation 13, that he suffers a fatal wound, meaning he's killed, and yet he lives. So if you die and then you live, that means that you've been resurrected. And then if we combine that with Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that he comes into the temple and he proclaims himself as God. At that point, I believe the Jewish people utterly and totally reject him. And he thinks he's God. He thinks he says he can be God because he rose from the dead just like Jesus, just like Yeshua. So he proclaims himself to be the God of the Bible or the Messiah. And at that point, he begins to persecute the Jewish people because they won't worship him. And I believe it's at that point that we see these two witnesses that literally run him and his forces out of Jerusalem. The Bible says that these two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, that they prophesy and they breathe fire and they can close the heavens so that it doesn't rain. And so if they're prophesying and they're breathing fire, I don't think that the Antichrist is very long inside the temple. And then he seeks to continue to attack the Jewish people for the next 3.5 years, and he doesn't succeed until the very end, which we see in Zechariah 14, where judgment does come on Jerusalem. And that's because we know that the two witnesses, eventually they are overcome, they do die, they do, their bodies rise up and go to heaven. So we believe it's at that time that that border or that buffer is removed, and the Antichrist is able to attack. And of course, we know the end of the story, Yeshua comes back and overcomes them. So I don't see it exactly like you were explaining, where the Antichrist builds the temple and the Jews worship him. I think he comes to an agreement with them to see it rebuilt, but he only becomes the idol of worship after he rises from the dead.
Awesome, bro. Thanks so much for your call, Dean, and thanks for listening to Line of Fire. Ron, we just have a couple of literally a couple of seconds left. I want to encourage people, if they want to get in touch with you, can they go to roncantor.com?
If they go to roncantor.com, they can get all sorts of great information, a free book. But then if they want to read our blog, it's messiahsmandate.org. And we've written about the Paris Conference, about John Kerry, all kinds of theology. So it was great to be with you.
Great to be with you too, Ron. Thanks so much for calling, bro. I look forward to seeing you hopefully soon. Friends, on the other side of the break, we're going to have another special guest calling from the United Kingdom.
It It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much, everyone, for listening to Line of Fire today. I'm Scott Volk, sitting in this anointed seat that's usually occupied by Dr. Michael Brown. He's in Singapore now, ministering in churches and meeting with business leaders in that wonderful nation. And it's always a privilege for me to be sitting in this seat and hosting this show. Today, the topic of our show is Why Bless Israel? Our phone lines are open. It's 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Israel is a hot topic. Genesis 12, verse 3, God speaking to Abraham says, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. We've had some amazing guests on in the first hour, but the guest that I'm about to have on is the newly appointed CEO and president of God TV. His name is Ward Simpson. He's a dear friend of mine for 20 years. And Ward is overseeing a network that actually is putting Israel first in the first part of this year. Ward Simpson, thanks so much for joining us today.
Scott, it's a privilege to be here with you.
Yeah, thanks so much. So, bro, you're currently in the United Kingdom, is that right?
Yes, I am here at our regional office in Plymouth, England. It's the south of England. It's a beautiful place, 4 hours out of London.
That's so awesome. Ward, I've been so encouraged in seeing what's happened just in the last couple of weeks. You sent out a message that really went worldwide on the internet and on the God TV app, which I encourage everyone to get. Go to God.TV. Download the God TV app and really watch the Bless Israel show. It's remarkable. But Ward, you said that the Lord spoke to you. He gave you a specific word in how you and the network were supposed to start the year off. Can you tell our listeners what the Lord spoke to you?
I was praying for 2017, asking the Lord, what should we do? How do we start the year? You know, do we do it with a series of events, with prayer, with fasting? What do we do? And the Lord spoke, Scott. And he said, start the year right. And I was like, well, was that really you, Lord? Is that a trick statement? And I, you know, as the Lord speaks to our hearts, it was not an audible voice. But certainly as I was praying and meditating and crying out to the Lord for my own life and for God TV, he said, start the year right. And I said, well, Lord, what does that mean? And he went on, you know, to speak to my spirit. And he said, start the year by blessing Israel. If you will bless Israel, you will start the year right. And if you start the year right, your year will go right and it will end right. You know, it doesn't mean we won't have trials and tribulations. It doesn't mean we won't have persecution.
Yeah.
But he said, if you start the year right by blessing my people, then your year will go right. So that's what we did.
Amazing. We just have about 1 minute before the break. Can you just kind of whet our appetites? It's only been a couple of weeks into the year, but have you sensed any kind of change in the environment, either at the network or even in your own heart with regard to the steps that you've taken to bless Israel?
Scott, we had amazing response. We've had probably close to 4,000 or 5,000 people pledge.
Wow.
And we have had some amazing breakthrough. Things that God TV has been praying about and working and striving for 10 years.
Wow.
Even more than 10 years, all of a sudden, the windows of heaven have been opened, and we are seeing a blessing that we cannot contain. We call it breakthrough, hallelujah.
That's awesome. Friends, if you're listening, I want to encourage you. On the other side of the break, Ward and I are going to be talking some more. Listen, when God says, I will, he means I will. There's no, God doesn't change his mind. He's not up one day, down another day. God is the God who keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations. And one of his greatest I wills, friends, is when he says, I will bless those who bless Israel. Join us on the other side of the break with my guest, Ward Simpson.
God of light,
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us, friends. This is Scott Volk sitting in the seat of Dr. Brown for today. While Dr. Brown is away, our phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Our topic today, why bless Israel? Israel is a controversial topic. You may be listening and you might say to yourself, Israel's no different than any other nation. And the people in Israel right now have nothing to do with who God said Israel was. I've heard that argument many, many times. Or how about this one, that God is no longer interested in that piece of real estate. He's interested in the church worldwide, and that piece of land doesn't mean anything to God anymore than North Carolina means to North Carolina. Friends, there's a scriptural premise that simply says from God, I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse. I'm on with Ward Simpson now. And Ward, I just want to take just one more minute. I'm trying to find the time here. If people want to get in touch with you, how can they reach you?
They can reach me at God.tv. There's a button that you can contact me at. Scott, you know, I'm in England this week, then I'm off to Israel next week, where we're having our consecration service for all those folks that gave to the Bless Israel campaign.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a special service there where we're going to take all their prayer requests. I think we already have over 7,500 prayer requests that we are taking to Jerusalem, and we're going to pray over them there. But here in England, football, which we call soccer in America, but football is huge. And when I was growing up, they had a game called, it was the FA Cup final, and it was held in Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
And this was the slogan they would say. They would say, all roads lead to Wembley. I grew up with that slogan, all roads lead to Wembley. Here's the reality. All roads lead to Jerusalem.
That's right. That's
everything right. Points to Jerusalem.
I love
so
it.
Why should you bless Israel? Like you said before the break, our God is a covenant-keeping God.
Yes.
And the Bible from cover to cover speaks of his covenant towards a people and towards a land.
That's right.
And when he says that we should bless them, he wasn't suggesting it. That was a command. And friends, I am so happy that we began to bless Israel the very first thing we did in 2017. It's been amazing.
It's so amazing, Ward. Your life and the way you're handling things is a real inspiration to me. Friends, I want to encourage you, go to God.net. If you've got your iPad or your...
God.tv.
I'm so sorry, God.tv. Thank you so much. If you've got your iPad or your cell phone, you can download their app. You can stream this network live. The month of January, they've really set aside to bless the nation of Israel and the people of Israel. And God is blessing them in return. Ward, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a joy having you on the line with me, bro.
Scott, it's awesome. You know, I'm here in England and in the office today. I walked into one of our offices and there was Mike Brown on TV in England with his program, Ask Me Anything. It was pretty good to see that.
That is so awesome, bro. Well, you've been a blessing to both Dr. Brown and to me, and we're so glad that we get to partner together with you in the days ahead. Ward Simpson, you're the best. Thanks for joining me for these few minutes today.
Bless you.
All right, bye-bye. Friends, this is an amazing day. We've got amazing guests lined up, and it's a joy to introduce you to a dear friend of mine, the current president of Chosen People Ministries. I was going to say he was the founder, but Chosen People was actually founded in the 1800s. Mitch Glazer, it's awesome to have you with us today.
Hey, Scott, and please don't age me. Thank you, brother.
You're the best, bro. Mitch has a crazy, crazy kind of schedule, and he's been kind enough to break away from a teaching commitment just simply to be on the line with us today at Line of Fire. If you've got questions, call in at 866-348-7884. Mitch, today our topic is Why Bless Israel? You've been involved with Israel-related ministries as long as you've known Yeshua as Messiah. What would you say is the greatest reason why people should be blessing Israel?
Well, the greatest reason is always going to be found in the Bible, of course, Scott, and you've shared that, I'm sure, with folks on the radio. And I've got one passage that maybe not, you've gone over with folks. I know you've covered Genesis 12, 1 through 3. I'll bless those who bless thee, curse those who curse thee, and through you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And it's always a great blessing for Gentile Christians to bless Israel. And I'll give you an off-the-cuff non-biblical reason. That is because we really need you.
That's awesome.
We really do. We need Gentile Christians to bless Israel, because that's part of the testimony that's going to win Jewish people to the Lord, when Gentile Christians show their love to the Jewish people. But I'm just reading from Romans, the 15th chapter, in verse 25, where Paul's writing to Jewish and Gentile believers that he didn't really know. He didn't plant the congregation, but he wrote this extensive letter, the epistle to the Romans. And he shares with them in verse 25 of Romans 15, "At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints.
Yes.
For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them." And here's the principle, Scott. "For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought to also be of service to them in material blessings."
Wonderful.
And I think that that's just, you know, that's built on Genesis 12. And I know that there are, without the Gentile believers sowing into the ministry of Chosen People Ministries and Line of Fire and so many other wonderful ministries of the Jewish people, we wouldn't be able to do this great prophetic work of reaching Jewish people with the gospel.
Yeah, that's awesome, Mitch. I don't know that I want to dig too deeply into this, but I'll give you my question, and then I want you to respond to me. There are organizations that raise tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars a year for quote-unquote Israel, and entirely overlook that section in Romans 15 that says Paul was actually bringing the offering to the saints in Jerusalem. How important do you feel that our Israel-related giving should be going to the believers who are in Israel? I mean, I love all works over there, the poor and the needy, Jew, Arab, I get all that. But do you think that there should be an emphasis on giving to the believers in the land?
Well, if not an emphasis, at least a parity, Scott. And there's definitely not a parity happening. And a lot of Christians are giving of their time and their treasure and their talent to ministries that are not particularly related to the growing body of Messiah in Israel. You know, a lot of times, and Scott, you know, we've been together in Israel, and a lot of times the Jewish believers in Israel look at me and say, you know, people come with tours and they don't even know that there's a living, breathing body of Messiah in Israel. And, you know, if it was America, you know, they might be saying, you know, what do we, chop liver? You know, but they don't eat much of that in Israel. And so I think that we need to get word out to our brothers and sisters in the Messiah, who are part of churches all throughout the world, that there is a growing, wonderful movement of Jewish people coming to know the Lord in Israel, and we need to support that, and Chosen People supports that. I know you guys support that incredibly, but we can't do that. We'd love to be a bridge between American Christians and Canadian Christians to the saints in Jerusalem, and they need the help. You know, it's not like you can go down and rent a church building from the First Baptist Church or the First Assembly of God Church in Tel Aviv, you know?
Right.
I mean, so there's a lot of pressure on these folks anyway. And so if we can relieve some of that pressure and make life just a little easier for the Jewish believers in Israel, I think that'd be a great blessing.
Yeah, that's really, really awesome, Mitch. We're coming up to a break in about 1 minute. Are you able to stay with us on the other side of the break for any length of time, or do you need to go? I got you on a little bit late today. I just want to be sensitive to your time.
Well, Scott, I'm teaching an intensive at our seminary program here on Jewish evangelism, and my students are all sitting around here listening to me, and they'd much rather me do a radio interview than teach, because I'm teaching 8 hours a day. So they're
awesome.
Happy for the break.
All right, so I'll see you on the other side of the break. I'm going to be your student's favorite radio host.
you already are.
That's awesome. Friends, thanks so much for joining us today. You need to check out Chosen People Ministries. It's an amazing work in New York City. On the other side of the break, I'm going to have Mitch talk about an incredible book that he has put together on Isaiah 53. And you don't want to miss this, and you don't want to order it, because he's actually going to be giving it to you for free. We'll tell you how you can get that on the other side of the break. 866-348-7884. 866-348-TRUTH. Our lines are open. Call in after the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, this is actually Scott Volk sitting in for Dr. Brown, who's currently in Singapore ministering the gospel. Please keep him in prayer. Before going back to Mitch, I just want to read one quick verse out of Acts chapter 10. And this is what it says. There was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort. Now listen to this. A devout man, one who feared God with all of his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually before the gospel ever went out to the nations. It was only Jewish people who had an intimate personal relationship with Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. But the gospel went to the nations through a man named Cornelius, who prayed to God and who gave to the poor in Jerusalem. I'm telling you something. When God says, I will bless those that bless you, he means that Cornelius and his household get radically saved. And if you're listening to this broadcast and you were not born into a Jewish home, you have a debt to Cornelius, who loved God and gave to the poor in Israel because God blessed him. My friend Mitch Glazer is our special guest today. Mitch is the president of Chosen People Ministries. Mitch, thanks for taking a couple of extra minutes and hanging on with us. What do you think about Cornelius, brother?
Well, I think that I look forward to meeting him, Scott. And I'd like to know what made him tick.
Yeah.
I think that what you say is absolutely true. And it's a biblical principle all throughout the Word of God, that when Gentiles bless the Jewish people, then they are blessed. And we have to remember that. And that's all the way through the Old and the New Testament. And, you know, we had a lot of people praying for the Paris meeting that happened.
Yes.
This past week, where the 70 nations gathered to talk about what the UN Security Council had approved, and the U.S. had abstained from the vote. And, of course, it wasn't as bad as we thought it was, although I still think it's going to have some very negative circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked people to pray. And one of my reasons for praying is I explained to people that Jews, even unsaved Jewish people, have the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have the same Bible, at least. Christians have two parts, and Jewish people have half, but could have the other half if they wanted it.
Yes.
You know, and we, you know, there's the olive tree.